Welcome to Clinical Conversations' 117th podcast. It comes to you from Journal Watch, whose website is at jwatch.org. I'm Joe Elia. It's April 1st, 2011. I'll be joined shortly by Dr. Danielle Scherer of Physicians First Watch and the Medical University of South Carolina. Dr. David Waters is our guest this time. He is first author on a paper published earlier this week in JACC, the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, that examined data from three large clinical trials of atorvastatin. The aim of the paper was to examine the incidence of new-onset type 2 diabetes in patients on atorvastatin. It was done in collaboration with employees of the drug's manufacturer. Dr. Waters is professor of medicine emeritus at the University of California, San Francisco School of Medicine. Welcome, Dr. Waters.
Thank you.
The introduction of your paper spends considerable time talking about a meta-analysis in Lancet from early last year showing that in 13 trials, statins conferred about a 9% increase in risk for new onset type 2 diabetes. Was that meta-analysis the trigger for your paper?
It was partly the trigger. We had already been thinking about this, and there has been considerable controversy in the field as to whether statins cause this slight increase in risk for new onset diabetes, and secondarily, whether one statin was worse than another. And it was an old study looking at the West of Scotland study suggesting that pravastatin reduced the risk of new onset diabetes. And then a large study with rosuvastatin showed that it increased the risk. So it was a topic that was of interest and somewhat controversial already.
The Lancet analysis mentions specifically that it's missing data from the SPARKLE trial, which is one of the trials that your group examined. Were they not given access to the data, or did they just do their analysis too late to include the SPARKLE data? Do you know offhand?
I'm not sure what the answer to that is. The SPARKLE trial was done considerably later than some of the other trials that they examined, and it was a trial where the steering committee was composed entirely of neurologists, so they were a little bit out of the cardiology mainstream. I'm not sure whether they didn't ask or they didn't know the right person to ask or exactly what happened that they didn't get the results of that trial.
And then your analysis looked at three major trials. Two of them, the TNT and IDEAL trials, compared high versus low dose atorvastatin. And in those two, you did not find any significant association with the use of a statin and new onset diabetes. But then the third trial, this SPARKLE trial that we mentioned, did find an increase, and that trial compared high-dose statin with placebo. Did these results surprise you, or is this what you suspected you would find?
I don't think it was a surprise. I don't think we knew what we were going to find. I think we pretty much thought, based upon the meta-analysis, that this was a class effect and that all statins caused this, that SPARKLE showed a significant difference and the other two trials just showed a trend. I think that's not unexpected because neither of the other two trials had a placebo group, so it was high dose versus lower dose. So I think our findings were pretty much not unexpected.
And what is the prevailing hypothesis on why statins cause this increase?
That's a very good question, Danielle, and the simple short answer is that we have absolutely no idea. There's
okay.
No postulated mechanism, or there's no studies that have been done in animals, for example, to sort of explain why this happens on a physiologic basis.
In the TNT and IDEAL trials, you know that there's this trend toward an increase in the high-dose groups that was not significant, but you also note that when patients were stratified by fasting glucose levels, the risk increased by glucose quintile. So considering that, would you still say the use of statins among patients in the higher quintiles is worth the potential risk?
Oh, definitely yes. And these are the patients who are most at risk for a cardiovascular event. There's a huge amount of data showing that among patients who already have diabetes, statins reduce their risk of a stroke or heart attack or cardiovascular death. So ironically, the patients who are at higher risk for new onset diabetes are also the patients where there's the most benefit. Patients with the metabolic syndrome who tend to have the features that are predictive in our study of a new onset diabetes get tremendous benefit from statins, and that's been shown in TNT and in multiple other subgroup analyses.
You conclude your paper with a discussion of the risks and benefits and conclude that the benefits of statin treatment far outweigh those risks, which is basically how the Lancet meta-analysis ends. What would you advise clinicians who still worry about those risks nonetheless?
I think you have to, first of all, put the risk in context. And we're talking about a 9% increase in risk if you believe the number from the Lancet meta-analysis, or worst-case scenario, a 37% increase in risk if you believe the Sparkle number. And by the way, the confidence intervals for those two numbers overlap. Many of the other drugs that we use are associated with a much greater risk than that. We know that diuretics and beta blockers, for example, which we use to treat hypertension, increase the risk of new onset diabetes. Glucocorticoids do for sure. Some of the protease inhibitors for HIV definitely do. Mm-hmm. And niacin, which people say, oh, niacin, it's not a synthetic drug, it's a natural product, it doubles your risk of developing new-onset diabetes. So a 9% increase compared to the increase you see with other commonly used drugs is it's still something to think about, and I can see why people might worry about it, but in context, I think it's a relatively small increase in risk.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today, Dr. Waters. Anything else you want to add?
No, I don't think so. I think that covers the main thing. I think there's a small increased risk with statins. It's probably more with higher doses, and the risk is probably greatly outweighed by the benefit that people get from this class of drugs, particularly people that already have cardiovascular disease.
All right.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Waters.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Well, there's Conversation 117. We hope you found it useful. Earlier podcasts are available at podcasts.jwatch.org. Clinical Conversations executive producer is Adore Yano. I'm Joe Elia. Join us next time. For myself and Dr. Danielle Scherer, thank you for listening.